We welcome you back into the Bun Sports Show as we begin another week on the program. Fairly interesting college football Saturday. I don't think a whole lot happened that was a major surprise. There were some scares to some of the top teams, but no upsets. Alabama, number one, held its own very nicely. They had a 33-14 win over the Ole Miss Rebels. Number two, Oregon, also with a nice victory over Washington State. LSU with a 38-22 victory over Tulsa. That was apparently not enough to impress the voters in the AP poll because they are now dropped to fourth. It's yet to be seen what the Tigers will be in the Bun Sports Power Rankings, but I think it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product that, of course, voted on by Bun Sports contributors. Well, it is Monday, and that means that the college football professor is with us. And, Professor, I don't know what you took from this past weekend. I took that there are a lot of teams that need to work on some defense, namely in Morgantown, in Waco, Texas, Athens, Georgia, and Knoxville, Tennessee. What about you?
I think you're right. I think that I'm not sure that some of them have forgotten that 7-on-7 football is usually done in the spring just for the fun of it. But nonetheless, there were some real interesting games, and maybe there are three games that I think really were of great interest, but neither of the three gave us any significant answers. Thinking, as you've mentioned, the Tennessee at Georgia, a lot of scoring, and Georgia puts a lot of talent on the field, but there was just a looked like a scrum out there. It was hard to tell. And then the Texas at Oklahoma State game was a big interest. Maybe Texas is a little better than we thought they were, but they do have a lot of talent, just like Georgia. But we'll find out a lot more about Texas in the coming weeks as they play West Virginia this week, and then Oklahoma the following week, and then Baylor the following week. So I think that'll all come out, and that's the is what's happening. We're sorting out the teams now. And you mentioned the Ole Miss at Alabama. Either Ole Miss is pretty good, a pretty good football team, or they played over their head, or Alabama wasn't hitting on all cylinders. But nonetheless, it was an entertaining game, and Ole Miss really came to play.
I think so. I think Ole Miss is a little bit better than what people said they would be coming into the year. I think Hugh Freeze has instilled some toughness into the Rebels this year. Now, I don't know how well they'll do as far as record, but they could make it to a bowl. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we'll continue to sort things out this week. Last week we had 9 teams without a win and 26 teams without a loss. Now we have 8 teams that are winless and 20 undefeated. So Houston was the one that got off the snide. They won their first game. And other notables that went down to defeat for the first time, UCLA, Stanford, and Baylor. But anyway, that'll tell us a lot.
I think. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think that the two. It's interesting that there were only two matchups of undefeated teams this past weekend. One was of no consequence, and of course, the Baylor and West Virginia game, which, by the way, I'll be interested to see. Will the basketball teams, when they play in the Big 12 this year, will West Virginia versus Baylor, will they score more points? I wonder about that.
I don't think they will. In fact, I think, you think about it, it's quite a contrast. The basketball coach in Morgantown, West Virginia, is a hard-nosed defensive coach. And the football coach is a kind of a loosey-goosey, throw-it-around offensive coach. So it's kind of interesting.
Absolutely.
Well, Jacob, I think that we could spend our time now looking at maybe what's coming up this coming week. There's some very interesting games, and maybe I could just lay some of them out. We could talk about them a little bit, and one of them we've just alluded to is West Virginia, who 4-0 will travel to Texas 4-0. Now, the only time these two teams played was in 1956, and West Virginia won that game. Now, notice the score, 7-6. I believe the game will give us a little bit more scoring than that. But it'll also tell us, I think, a little bit more about how West Virginia is going to fit in, or I don't know whether it's fit in is the right term, but adjust to the Big 12.
Well, Texas certainly has started off strong this year. I think they're the clear leader with Oklahoma out of the way in the Big 12. No disrespect to Kansas State, but Texas is Texas and Kansas State's not. So I think Texas is the team to beat, and I think West Virginia has definitely an opportunity to do that this weekend. But I don't know. They're going to have to play better on defense. I mean, I can see Texas's defense stopping West Virginia. I can't see the other way around.
Speaking of Oklahoma, 2-1, will play at Texas Tech, who at 4-0. Now, I'm not so sure that 4-0 record says a whole lot about Texas Tech, but...
They had the number one defense in the nation.
Oklahoma has never lost twice in a row to Texas Tech.
And that's something.
And I'm sure that the Oklahoma Sooners remember the 41-38 loss last year in Norman, and maybe the most costly loss in the history of the Sooner football. It may have been the biggest upset of the year last year. I don't know. But that was quite a come down.
Well, anybody who thinks that Oklahoma will go into Lubbock this year and steamroll Texas Tech is mistaken, because Texas Tech, I think they're going to give them a good game. Now, I think Oklahoma will probably pull away with the victory, but look at how Oklahoma has played against teams like UTEP and Kansas State so far. They haven't been able to move the ball, haven't been able to score points, and so I think they have a real problem there, and I'm not so sure Texas Tech is a little bit better than we thought they would be.
You might be right. And another game, it comes out of the Big Ten, and there are not many games in the Big Ten
right now.
But Nebraska, 4-1, plays at Ohio State, 5-0. And after this game, they'll be Nebraska, 4-1, and Ohio State, if they were to lose, would be 5-1. But the last time the Cornhuskers played in Columbus was 1956, and they lost 34-7 then. I'm not so sure if Hopalong Cassidy didn't play for Ohio State at that time. I don't know. But Bo Pelini is not a stranger to the Horseshoe. That's where he played his college football. But last year, Nebraska won in Lincoln 34-27. So this will be an interesting game. And as I said, it's going to go a long way in deciding this week Big Ten championship.
Well, if you're Jim Delaney, do you want Ohio State to just lose and be done with it? I mean, at this point, they're the undefeated mantle-toting team right now from the Big Ten, but they're ineligible to participate in postseason play at all. So if you're Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten, do you want Ohio State to go down to somebody so somebody else can win? I mean, it's a very interesting scenario.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, let's look at one of the biggies, and that's LSU travels to Florida. Now, you know, Florida is known for being supposed to be difficult for any team to come and play in the swamp. And Florida's advantage of bringing teams into the swamp might just be trumped by LSU. I mean, coming from Louisiana, these folks live in much more hostile swamp, grabbing gators with their bare hands than they'll face in the Florida swamp. Last year, though, the 41-11 score will not happen again this year. But Jacob, I believe that the Bayou Bengals will go into Gainesville and they'll walk away with a gator over their shoulder. I know that a lot of people are picking Florida to win the game, but I believe LSU will prevail.
Well, you're not alone. I was talking to somebody this morning about LSU's chances, and as poor and anemic as LSU has looked offensively, and frankly their whole team the last couple of weeks at Auburn, and playing Towson this past weekend, they could just be playing possum, to use a good phrase there. This weekend, they could come out of the hole and surprise a lot of people by going on the road and defeating a good Florida team. And it would not surprise me at all. I haven't made up my mind who I'm going to go with yet, but it would not surprise me at all to see Les Miles' team pull it out.
Well, Jacob, I don't know what you think about this, but the old professor has been thinking a little bit about that. And these teams, like LSU, who have been riding high for, you know, two or three years now, it's very difficult for them to get up for every game. And everybody's up for them. And so sometimes they know what it's like to go into the hostile arena and play the marquee game and have to fight and give it their best. They know something about that. And they know what a win and a defeat cost in those situations. And so sometimes they don't have the same temperament when they are playing teams that they should beat. And that may be a weakness. I don't know. But I just think that's the case. It's hard to emotionally be up for game after game after game because teams like LSU and Alabama and Southern Cal, every game they have to be up, and it can wear on them mentally.
It can, and I think LSU is going to be up for this game, and Florida has just had an off week. So, but you're right, it can.
Another game, and I don't know, I have much to say about it, but it's interesting that Notre Dame and Miami will be playing in Chicago at Soldier Field this week.
Interesting.
And all I'll say is don't be surprised if Miami doesn't win this game.
Well, would it be the second major collapse in Chicago, in the city of Chicago, that we've seen in a week? And that, of course, would be an allusion to the outcome of the Ryder Cup yesterday with the United States team giving up such a big lead. I don't know, but I don't think Miami's going to beat Notre Dame, but I think Notre Dame might be a little overconfident at this point.
A game that doesn't have a lot of significance other than the fact it's moving into the heart of what it means to be in the SEC or new conference, and that is Vandy, who is 1-3, will be at Missouri 3-2. Now, Missouri is 2-1-1 versus Vanderbilt all time. But Vanderbilt won the last time they played in 1958. Vanderbilt won that game 12-8. And Missouri's last win was in 1896. But they won't be wearing leather helmets in this game. But it'll be a game to watch to see how Missouri adjusts to the mid-grade or the lower-grade SEC teams.
Well, watch out for this game. I really believe Vanderbilt has a very good opportunity to win this football game and probably will, and here's why. I said before the season, just what you just said, that this is the biggest test when you come into the SEC. It's not when you play the big dogs, but when you play those teams like Vanderbilt. They are a little bit tougher than you find in other leagues. But I also believe, you have to think about Missouri. Next week, it has just been announced today that the Alabama Crimson Tide will play Missouri on a national broadcast, CBS 230. It'll be in Columbia. I think Missouri fans, Missouri players, are very hyped up. They've been watching Alabama, and wow, we get to play the number one team in the nation, the Crimson Tide, next week. But you have to play Vanderbilt first. Don't forget about the Commodores, and I think there's a good chance they will, and it would not surprise me at all to see Vanderbilt win this game.
And our last game to really look at, Jacob, would be the Georgia-South Carolina game. And it's going to be quite a game. In fact, both of these teams, you know, they really have a lot of good football players. And as I've already alluded to, Georgia is just loaded with talent. But, you know, he who has much, much is expected. And sometimes Georgia doesn't deliver that quite that well. But they have a very good running game with those freshmen running back. They have a very good quarterback, Aaron Murray. But South Carolina has a very good running back and Marcus Latimer, and they have a very good quarterback in Connor Shaw. And this will be quite a game.
I was very underwhelmed with Georgia Saturday. I thought I expected much more from them coming into that game. And I know that Tennessee is a decent team offensively, but Georgia's defense looked horrible. And they're going to have to really improve if they're going to stop Connor Shaw, Marcus Latimer, and the rest of the South Carolina offensive attack. Now, South Carolina didn't look great either in that win over Kentucky, but I know South Carolina is a solid team. I'm still questioning whether Georgia is or not. That's going to be interesting to see this weekend.
Well, that's a good look at what's going to happen this week. I think college football's really it's beginning to ramp up, and a lot of good things happening, and a lot of teams that are we're seeing the good teams rise to the top, and some of the ones that are not are beginning to fall to the bottom.
Well, you know, when you go into an election cycle, especially particularly a presidential election, they always call an October surprise is a term used for something that comes out that nobody's expecting on one of the candidates. Well, what are we going to see this October in college football that might be an October surprise? I think that'll be an interesting storyline. Something might happen that is completely unexpected. It has the last few years, and I think it will again this year. So I think you're right. I'm looking forward to these next 5 weeks. Well, it's great to visit with you, Professor, as always. I hope you have a nice afternoon.
Thank you, Jacob. It was good to be together.
Well, we'll be back later on in the week. Bun Sports Power Rankings will be out in a day or so, so you won't want to miss those. And, of course, David Sears at the end of the week to preview what should be another fantastic week of college football. For the College Football Professor, I am Jacob Bunn. We will talk to you next time.